96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This Memorial Day weekend is supposed to be filled with fun and relaxation, but not so if you are mad at your mate. What does that look like for you? Fighting, pouting, silent treatment? Do you hold a grudge forever? Well, tonight we're going to help get him off the couch and back in the bedroom, and we're going to loosen up those tight jaws of hers and talk about making up. My guests are G. Sanders, professional matchmaker and co-founder of Black Love Industry Professionals, and Tariq Omari Walton is an author and relationship therapist. Give us a call if you hold a grudge way too long. And we're also going to talk about how to apologize. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Tariq and G, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Ladies first, G, how long is too long for a mate to hold a grudge?
I think past 24 hours.
Really? Just 24 hours?
If you're in a committed, functional, healthy relationship. Now, 24 hours really is a long time if you're going to communicate with that person throughout the day, or if you have things that you actually do together, work together, manage a household together, have children together. That's a really long time if you're not speaking or you're upset about what occurred 24 hours before. And now you're holding on to it, and it's minimizing your communication to do other things, regular day-to-day things. So to me, anything past 24 hours, we've got to sit down at the table and really kind of figure out, like, how do we move forward? Because it just really feels real thick, you know, in the house if
you
live together.
I don't want to sit down and talk to you.
I know.
Why do I want to? I don't want to sit down and talk to you.
My husband never really wants to talk to me. He says I talk too much.
Is that why you all get along so well?
So
he avoids you.
Yes. Yeah, he's figuring, you know, behaviorally, if he said I love you a few extra times, and he feels like, why do we have to have this full conversation at date night? Mm-hmm. You know, it should be, we should be finished that by now, right? So it is like the differences of men and women.
Well, I was going to ask, Tariq, is it different for men and women?
Oh, oftentimes it is. And you have to figure that you do have to talk. If you're in a relationship, it's really not just about what you want, but you are a team. So you have to figure out what's best for the team, which often means communicating. So if you're not communicating, guess what? That resentment's going to start to grow when someone doesn't have a chance to get off their chest what they're feeling.
Exactly. Yeah, and it is the team, you know.
Right.
In our coupling together, we decided to work through things together, mm-hmm. which includes if it's something that you did I didn't like, you know, I got to put it on the table. Maybe you don't want to have a full-blown conversation, so I guess that's where the discussion comes in. Like, how do we mediate it? How do we move forward? I want to have a conversation.
But you know what? Men go through the same thing sometimes.
Okay.
You know, we also feel, all depending on who you are, what you're going through, like you have issues that just aren't resolved. And when you don't resolve them, you just have a chance to keep getting more mad.
Does it depend on what the issue is?
No.
Really?
No. You have to talk. You have to talk it out. You know, there's no way around it. And the thing is, when you are taking that time to really understand where the other person's coming from, because what's going to happen is oftentimes you think you're right, mm-hmm. and you don't have any sympathy or understanding what the other person's going through. You don't have a chance to really build, you know, the relationship strong. You don't have a chance to really build that intimacy, that intellectual and emotional intimacy, because you're so focused just on what you want.
How does a grudge often manifest itself, G, when it comes to women? Will a guy always know that she's angry?
And that's
he's
usually
laughing.
The conflict. That's usually the conflict. As women, we do typically want you to know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always want to be the heavy. And ultimately, in showing signs, maybe not speaking, maybe not being as affectionate, maybe a little subtle rolling eye, maybe when you say I love you, I pause and I don't say it as fast. We're hoping that the gentleman pick up on it. But I know even in my own experience, my husband is thinking like, well, you said I love you back. He didn't notice the subtle delay. He didn't notice it was a delay. But you know what? He thought we were fine. Like, you said I love you back. I thought we were good. You
nothing. What's wrong?
Exactly.
Nothing.
But we do.
Are you okay?
We do pick up on it, though. The funny thing is, men do pick up on it, but we're taught to avoid that kind of thing. You know, we're taught to avoid, whether it's in the street. We sense trouble. We always sense trouble. So if we sense trouble at home, we're taught to avoid trouble by all means. And that means oftentimes getting out the room, not instantly replying to something you have to say. If we fear that something's about to escalate, because a lot of men don't have that emotional, you know, sense of control, they just try and get out of the way.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's a Relationship Friday. We're talking about holding grudges. How long do you hold a grudge? What does it look like? And how do you apologize? How do you make up? Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Clyde, calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Clyde, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I think that you shouldn't hold a grudge more than 24 hours, especially because the person who's actually holding the grudge, one of the things that happens to you physically is that when you're very, very angry, your body produces hormones that attack your organs. So I think that physically you're doing more damage to yourself than the other person.
Hmm, interesting. Tariq, hormones that attack your organs?
Yeah, stress. Just think about stress. That's what we're talking about. What happens is you're holding on to the stress for so long without releasing it. Yeah, you're doing battle with yourself internally. And the thing is, too, and going back to the whole 24-hour thing, I don't know if you remember like when old folks used to say, don't go to bed mad, don't go to bed angry.
Still applies.
It's the same exact thing. You should not be taking that much time to get over whatever it is you're feeling. And you have, again, I'm just going to keep going back to it. You have to have that conversation.
It's a level of control and compassion. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, the person that's typically holding onto the grudge is holding onto the control, because typically you're making the other party uncomfortable. I'm not going to throw my mother under the bus. She's probably listening. But my mother can hold on to something for a minute. And really, that's probably where I've learned a little bit from her, where, look, I want you to catch on to what I'm feeling versus I don't want to communicate it. But it's also a level of control.
Right.
The compassion has to also at some point come in to say, maybe the person doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. So you have to release it. And I think that can be in conflict when you're trying to control and you're not showing compassion. And I think couples run into that.
And it's also about trying to figure out how to find closure with whatever it is you're feeling.
Yeah.
And so if your mate isn't giving you that, if they're not giving you a chance to have closure with whatever it is that you're not communicating that you should be communicating, you will continue to hold on to that grudge. That's why you have to talk. You need closure.
My Facebook page is really blowing over this.
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Right, exactly. This is a mess. So I have a question. It says, what class teaches men to avoid trouble?
Uh-oh, Tariq.
Oh, it's called growing up.
Is that what
it's called? I just did the barbershop talk where we are talking to black men about emotions and trauma. And a lot of times, especially as a black man, you've experienced so much trauma in your life, you just become aware of, you know, you're hypersensitive to the world around you. And so you're always aware of what's going on. If you look at any man when he walks in a room, he's checking everything out. He's trying to get a feel for what's going on in that room.
But is that because he wants to avoid trauma. But is that applicable to his relationship
Definitely. Okay. Most definitely. Because again, you're trying to avoid any kind of conflict. You know, you haven't been taught a lot of men have not been taught how to manage conflict correctly.
And go through it.
Right.
Don't go around it.
Constantly going around it.
But have you seen some of the looks that some of these women give guys? Would you want to? Right. But who wants to go through that?
I give them, and I recognize that.
She has those eyes, for sure.
I know my austerity, again, can come off very abrasive and can make my husband feel uncomfortable, or even my son. I have an adult son. But the reality of it is, though, is that I still want my men to come back for me. Mm-hmm. Don't let me live in the grudge. Like, come back for me. But at the same time, I have to recognize if they didn't get the cues of the snarl, you know, that I might give them.
The sign language.
You know, like, just rolling my eyes. If they didn't get it, I think as women, we have to release the control and say, they didn't get it. We're holding on to it. It's almost a day. We're still mad at each other over because the trash wasn't taken out. We still mad. because I had a hard day, and I'm telling you, that's usually my biggest pet peeve, is I see trash in that can, and I'm like, that cannot happen, and I am really mad, and I might put trash actually in front of their door, I might put some trash on their floor.
So now you're being passive-aggressive instead of using your words.
I'm being really petty, and I'm holding on to the thing, but I want them to get it, and I've learned and grown, like you said, it's about maturity,
right.
And women have to learn it too.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, we're talking about holding grudges. Do you hold on to issues in your relationship too long? How do you apologize and how do you make up? Let's talk to Elder McCoy. I believe that's who it is. Elder McCoy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Elder, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Tayo calling from Silver Spring. And we lost Tayo as well. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin calling from Woodbridge. Thanks for calling, Kevin. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
How's everybody doing?
Go right ahead, Kevin. Got a lot of folks on the line. Go right ahead.
Okay. All righty. Hey, the basic thing that hit me, I only tuned into your show about 5-10 minutes ago.
Okay.
And the first thing that hit me is a lack of communication. And the young lady spoke of, I apologize for not knowing your name, but the young lady spoke about giving signs. And those signs not being interpreted. My past experience, one most recent, is that communication, part of that communication is the receiving. Not just you sending the signals and everything. However, if the individual that you're talking to hasn't received your message or the information that you're trying to receive, then that's by definition, that's a lack of communication. And that in and of itself causes conflict, because now you put one in the quandary of what is really going on. I mean, and further miscommunication leads that one individual to take it upon themselves to try to realize what's wrong and what's going on. And then what we then have is a miscommunication.
Well, let me see what G has to say about that. And thank you so much. And I want to talk about this from the women's point of view. Are women taught to deal with that kind of conflict? Because Tariq already says that men are not.
Strong black women have been taught.
Like, strong.
Don't cut me off, Harry. Don't you do that to me.
Strong black women.
Don't you do that to me. Don't do that to
strong,
me.
Weak, little strong, lukewarm, hot, cold.
I'm not saying it in a, I'm actually saying it to say that unfortunately we've been taught a little bit to be a little too strong. In a way that means that we have to address everything.
But what does strength have to do with reconciliation?
Because it's a control. We want to stay yeah, but as the dominant one. Right.
And maybe I don't equate strength with control. Strength is, to me, that means handling your business. Okay.
Right.
So when you mean strong minded, when you mean,
but for a lot of women though, that's where the strength lies. Actually, in relationships. Mm-hmm. That's where strength lies. It happens with men too. It's about control. It's about domination. And so if you figure out that I can, you know, control this relationship in a way that benefits me more than the other person, because a lot of times it's about competition, then you're going to do that.
Even in a relationship, you're unfortunately like holding grudges and harboring resentment is like, I'm trying to gain leverage.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to shift to what I want. And that means that if I have to show my strength in this mind play of showing signs and not communicating and being removed from being more affectionate or not cooking dinner tonight or rolling my, you know, the sighing that everything you say, the idea is I want something.
Mm-hmm.
And as opposed to communicating that, I'm still just trying to control the situation. And so the strong comes from just the mere fact that I do believe a lot of black women have felt like, I can't be vulnerable in this situation. I can't let it go. I can't let him walk over me. I got to get what I want.
And many are building a case. They'll hold
yes.
on to it just to build a case for later on. You know, so later on they can say, well, you always do this. Let me give you an example. This, and this.
Yes.
And they lay it all out for you. So, yeah.
And men have moved past it and we have a file.
Right.
And I definitely always say, like, I tell my husband all the time, like, noted. And he's like, what does that mean? Years ago, he used to say, what does that mean? I was like, Felicia Rosario used to say, noted. Mm-hmm. Noted means I'm just storing it.
Right.
And I'm going to pull it back out on you when I think you done forgot.
And we're not saying that's appropriate.
And not saying it's appropriate.
That's not appropriate.
And that sounds really, really painful.
It's very.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and it causes strain.
Really,
lots
really.
Lots of strain.
Lots
yeah.
of strain.
Lots
well,
of strain.
I would really hold a grudge about that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. G's probably got it on a flash drive. I need to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk to Kay in Temple Hills, Walter in D.C., Adrian in D.C. Lines are still open. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise we will get to you at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. More of this conversation on SiriusXM Channel 141. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR 96.3. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. Get out your flash drives, your paper files, and your iPads. And get your grudges on, because that's what we're talking about tonight. How long is too long to hold a grudge? How do you apologize? How do you make up when it comes to dealing with your mate? My guests are G. Sanders, professional matchmaker and co-founder of Black Love Industry Professionals here in D.C., and Tariq Omari Walton. He is an author and relationship therapist. Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Walter, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Walter. What's on your mind?
Well, good evening, Mr. Fisher. And how are everybody?
Doing just fine.
Well, look, the experience I have with black women, they hold grudges, and they're like PMS women. They will hold, and they attack. They will cuss at you. And the thing is that you do everything right, they still hold grudges, and it's best to just stay single.
Just stay single.
Man, Walter, my man.
Wow. Okay.
That sounds like you've been hurt a few times.
Yeah, what about that,
he's
Tariq? Is he right?
He definitely sounds like he's holding a little grudge right there.
Walter, you sound like you're holding a grudge with somebody that you're not even with anymore.
Well, yeah, because the experience is that the nice... I thought we were going together, but then she and I, we just had a little fight. But when it comes to, she was wrong, but she's going to use the FFF. I could have said, you know, I could have cussed her back, but I did something a little different. And I say, look, are you a man or a PMS witch?
Okay? Wow.
And you don't, and the thing, some women will hold grudges and they will just ruin a relationship.
Yeah, I guess the best thing would have said, do you want some oil for that neck? Because I'm sure that neck was going back and forth. Wow. So what should Walter have done, in a case like that, especially when you get to name calling? That's beyond holding grudges. That seems to me that you're getting to the point of the demise of a relationship.
And let's not confuse the fact that mentioning that, you know, black women are strong or black women are PMSing or the black women hold on to grudges. It's really not just black women in regards to the aspect of grudges and resentment and, you know, playing games and trying to control. Yeah. That's more of a gender kind of universal. And so I would say, you know, for Walter to say, like, be mindful that, again, what we're talking about is kind of like, hopefully, you know, if you want a healthy relationship, maybe you should just, again, explore more options. That could have been that woman who was having a PMSing fit and was cursing you.
But hold on. Can we not blame it on PMS? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just saying, like, yeah.
It's just...
He was mentioning PMSing. I'm like, maybe that was her situation at the time, but I wouldn't want to make that a global thing that is attached to resentment. I think that he should try love again and don't harbor.
And maybe in this case, in Walter's case, you know, PMS is postman syndrome because they're no longer together. Good luck, Walter. Let's go to Adrian calling from D.C. Adrian, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Carol Fisher. I'm glad to be on this topic. So I honestly had a situation very similar to this today, but it was with a little girl.
What?
And I've been at this elementary school this week doing some programs, so I saw her earlier this week, had a little situation.
But wait a minute, hold on, Adrian, let me back up, because we're not talking about relationships between adults and children. That's another show. Hold on.
Getting to the point real quick.
No, because we're talking about mates, and unless you're talking about mates, I'm going to have to let you go. Okay, because we are not talking about holding grudges. We're talking about relating between your mate.
Right, but I'm just trying to say, use that as an example to say that it starts at a very early age when we're taught.
Okay.
I was not talking about the relationship between me and this child.
Go ahead.
I'm seeing that it's not only black women either, because across the board, lots of different ethnic groups have the same problem. Mm-hmm. And we're being taught it at an early age. And that's where it really starts.
Hmm.
Like, how do you let go of stuff early on and it translates into your relationship? Because your relationship with your significant other is the closest relationship that you will have with a person outside of your parents or your, like, core family. So that's what we're being taught it. So if we stop it at the early age, then we can move on to when we get in relationships with people that we're supposed to show our best self to and be the most loving with, we would know how to let go there. Because outside of that, we show our best behavior to other people on the outside. But it's with the really close people that we really show the worst of ourselves sometimes.
Well, that's true. And I appreciate your clarification of that. Because, Tyreek, we teach children intolerance, we teach them prejudice, we teach them racism, we teach them kindness, we teach them patience.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think she makes an interesting point.
But understand too, a lot of that teaching goes by the way of observation. So they're not being literally taught these things. They're watching their parents' interactions. So if you watch your mother constantly pursue your father in terms of trying to have a conversation about something he doesn't want to talk about in an angry way, mm-hmm. you're more than likely going to do the same thing. And everyone's right. This is across the board. I have clients who are black, Latino, and white, and I see with all of my clients. And a lot of times what I've found is that the person who is, you know, holding on to the grudge the most also suffers from some kind of anxiety problem. You know, they're constantly trying to, engage in a way that is not healthy.
Yeah.
And so that's the big thing. How do you learn how to engage one another in a much more healthy way? And that's why I'm in business.
There you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kay calling from Temple Hills. Thanks for calling, Kay. What's on your mind?
Hi. This grudge holding thing is so very real. And I can speak on this topic from many different angles. You know, and I know as professionals, as is your co-host, you know, when you're dealing with that in a relationship, you have to do a certain level of excavation. You have to do some unearthing, you know, about your partner and find out what's really going on and try to work from that standpoint, because everyone is different. But with myself, I can hold a grudge like a dog can carry a bone. And that's one of the things I learned about myself, but what I try to tell my now ex is that I need to talk to you. You know, I need to communicate. I need a sounding board. It's not stemming from insecurity, but I just need a reality check sometimes. I need to know that what I'm perceiving is correct. You know, I need to know what I'm hearing you communicate to me is correct. So when I can't get that sounding board going on, that back and forth communication, I kind of shut down and I hold grudges, you know.
Right.
And I have to have that constant flow of communication, not out of insecurity, but I just need a sound check. I just need to make sure that things are the way that they appear to be. You know, case in point, you know, in my relationship, my mate would tell me, you know, off the wall things like he didn't want to be with me. He didn't like me. And he would look at me with such disgust at times. And, you know, it would just throw me off, you know. But yet when I confronted him about it, you know, I'll tell him I'm feeling this type of way. about your energy. You know, you're saying some mean things that really hurt my feelings.
Well, Kay, let me stop you. Let me stop you there, because this is a rather complex situation. And I'll start with G. What are you hearing there, G? Because that sounds much more complex than just holding a grudge.
Yes, because I'm also hearing, you know, emotionally aggressive language towards someone that you're in a romantic relationship with. I'm hearing someone say that they're not being heard. And I'm also hearing a little bit of a disconnect in regards to, if you're saying, you're kind of asking this person to clarify what they're saying, it sounds like what they're saying is pretty clear. If they're using very, you know, derogatory and very offensive things towards you, it doesn't sound like that person is really healthy and really in your corner. And unfortunately, like you said, Harold, I'm not sure if this has to do with grudges or just, again, like really toxic, unhealthy communication that kind of goes and tilts into, like, yes, it can be holding grudges, but it also is like holding grudges has a moment of silence almost versus being toxic and being unhealthy and saying very harmful, hurtful things goes into like abuse.
Tariq.
And that right there also, what I'm hearing is resentment. You know, that's one of the things that happens when you hold on to grudges for too long. Things will develop into a pattern of resentment. And when I hear that come out of my clients, I'm telling you, that's almost like a death kiss. Mm-hmm. If you're already resenting your mate for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, forms of jealousy, whether it's unmet expectations, whether it's your own unmet expectations of yourself within your relationship, once you begin to feel resentment towards somebody, you're already halfway down the hill.
Okay. Kay, thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. How do you move from grudge to reconciliation, even before the apology? What is the work that needs to be done inside your own head and heart, G?
Not landing on that I'm right, which is hard. It's hard for me. It's hard even in my relationship, because when you land on focusing on I'm right, and it almost, there's nothing that can resolve that. So having the compassion and understanding that the bigger picture is here is that I want us to be healthier and communicate more fluidly. I don't want to just be right. So I don't want to hold on to the fact that my husband doesn't understand take out the trash and that I'm right. He knows that the trash should go out. But if I stay there, it all, like how you mentioned before, it really cripples me. So what I've learned is that, again, is that releasing that anger and that struggle to get things my way or being right or throwing subtle cues really tends to isolate me. I really feel uncomfortable. I feel so angry and bottled up. And then it tends to snowball into other things where the origin of the issue was, I simply want the balance of the household chores. Mm-hmm.
Which is actually a whole other issue that we can talk about. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I love the fact that G brought up the whole idea of feeling like I'm right. The one thing that couples don't do, and I have to do this a lot with couples when I'm doing couples work, is validation.
What do you mean by that?
Being able to validate your partner's feelings, even though you believe you're right. Believe me, they think they're right as well. And so it's a matter of understanding that your partner may not be correct in your eyes, but for some reason they believe they're correct. And so understanding what those reasons are. And so being able to validate how they feel about a particular situation from their standpoint, recognizing it may not be the total truth, but for them it is the truth. And just showing that you understand, that's where the empathy comes in. Mm-hmm. And so you have to understand and be empathetic towards, we're trying to be solution focused.
Exactly.
How do you get the person to understand where you're coming from? You have to communicate with them in a way that's going to be effective and received by them. Like Walter said, if you're communicating with your partner and they're always defensive, then they're not going to hear anything you're saying anyway. They're going to be stuck on in their corner thinking they're right. And so you have to actually be able to communicate with them in a very effective way that's mostly about how you're being affected, how you're feeling, what your emotions are attached to this particular situation.
But can couples agree to disagree, or is that dangerous in a relationship?
Well, you have to at some point come to some kind of resolution. It's not about agreeing to disagree. You have to come to a resolution about it. And so it may not be perfect, but there has to be some kind of compromise. Otherwise, you won't be able to let it go. And that resentment will continue to grow that grudge will continue to grow.
And something as basic as just taking out the trash can snowball into
you
like,
and this trash.
Telling that is a pet peeve.
It obviously bothered her a lot.
Yes, I tell you.
And like we said, those bones that we carry, we figure out, but then having compassion to know that my husband gets up earlier than me and that he's not thinking, oh, F the trash. Mm-hmm. He's thinking, I leave out at 5:30 where I don't leave at 9. I've developed that compassion over years.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't put as many bones in the trash. Stop making so much trash, G. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Do you hold a grudge forever? How do you get to the apology piece? And what does that look like? How do you get to the kiss and makeup part? That's what we really want. Yeah, we got to talk about that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about holding grudges, apologizing, kissing and making up. All of that with your mate. Do you hold a grudge too long? Okay. So we've already discussed the grudge, the doing the work inside your head. Tariq, how do you say I'm sorry?
First, you have to be able to let go of the grudge. If you haven't let go of the grudge, there's no way you're going to be able to say sorry. So what are you still holding on to? You have to find some kind of peace with whatever that feeling was in the first place. So if you don't have peace with it, you're not going to say I'm sorry.
But how do you know? How does the other party know that the apology is insincere? Give me an example of what that would look like. And are some apologies more elaborate, more complex than others?
Someone will say to you, I'm sorry you feel that way, as opposed to I'm sorry I did that to you. That's the difference between a sincere apology and a apology that's just meant to shut you up.
An apology is coupled with an excuse.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry I forgot your birthday, but you understand, like, you know, the dog just died versus, you know, just adding on something as opposed to just staying focused on the area of conflict was right. That I forgot your birthday. But now by you adding in, well, you know, the dog died. So now we have to deal with the dog. So I would think that you would understand all of a sudden it almost shifts to say, don't you understand why I forgot?
Right.
And it doesn't, then it seems very disingenuous that, no, you don't accept it. I just really feel that you forgot my birthday.
But what if there is an offense because someone may be going through something?
Like the dog died?
I'm not even talking about.
I don't even like it.
I was going to say because I'm not a pet person.
But that's big for people though.
Yeah.
But I think I know a lot of people love their pets.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I get that. But let us assume for a moment that this is a petless house.
Okay.
But they may be going through something else, and
like what, depression?
Health issue?
Anything. Something upset yes. them. Whatever it happened to be, and there is a particular stress. And I'm not talking about something that's chronic.
Mm-hmm. Bad day at work. Really bad day.
Exactly. Do you apologize without explaining? Is an apology with an explanation just taboo? Or is it that an apology with an explanation is really considered an excuse because you keep doing that same thing or you're still saying that same thing no matter what the issue is?
Apology means nothing without understanding. And that's where the communication
comes. But isn't the explanation understanding or no?
I think I like yours a solution.
Right.
I think apology with solution as opposed to apology with explanation. An apology with the explanation, I forgot your birthday because today was such a terrible day at work. You know what I'm going through versus I forgot your birthday. Let's go out to dinner. Let's just move this forward.
Right.
I think you just get a better response.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it depends on where dinner is. I'm going to get those fries for you, baby.
Extra cheese on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Tariq.
I was going to say, it's the same thing, though. You know, you have to recognize within that debate that you're having with your mate, in terms of the apology, if you don't have any understanding of where the person's coming from, if you don't take the time to really communicate what you're feeling and how you were affected by that thing. So I forgot your birthday. How does that bother you? Why does that bother you? Mm-hmm. What about that situation bothers you? If I don't understand why it bothers you, then my apology is going to be hollow, because all I'm saying is I'm sorry you feel that way, but I need to understand why you feel that way. Exactly. What was so important about that situation? I mean, birthday is obvious, but if it's another situation, what was so important about that situation? What's so important about the trash that it affects you in such a way that you're holding this grudge against me? Why is that so important to you? Help me understand that, so when I apologize, I know what I'm apologizing for. I'm apologizing for making you feel a particular way. But what is that way? That way, in the future, I'll understand if I don't do this behavior for her, then she's going to feel this particular way and she's going to hold the grudge. So maybe I need to address that in a different way next time.
But what impact would a sincere apology have on G's iPad flash drive and files of things that she's noting about our relationship? If I'm sincerely apologizing,
change behavior.
Can it fix? But even if it is,
that's all it is. I mean,
whose behavior, yours or hers?
Yours. If it's bothering her and I'm apologizing to her, the only thing that's really going to fix it in the future is my change behavior. If I'm still doing the same things over and over again, nothing's changing. I'm going to keep apologizing, but I've learned nothing.
But let's assume, for example, that you are apologizing for different things. You forgot something, you said something wrong, you embarrassed her in front of the boss or what have you. She's going to Walmart buying another file cabinet.
Right.
Okay. But you've sincerely apologized and you've only made these mistakes once. Isn't the onus on her to examine how she receives the mistakes that you make?
And the acceptance of
who you're with.
Exactly. Right. Of who you're with and the fact that there are certain things that are not going to change.
You recognize you can't take your husband everywhere. And in certain environments, they can't go
Or your wife.
Or your wife, right.
Like Walter mentioned, the woman who was cursing him, like that's probably not someone, maybe if that's how they communicate with you when they're frustrated and they curse you out and drop the F-bomb.
Don't bring her to a dinner party.
You know, that's someone that doesn't fight fair.
Right.
But you end up developing, again, the understanding of what items that you hope will grow and evolve and what things that you just simply have to accept about your mate. And that's where I would say probably more women, we have to come into the acceptance of who we're involved in a relationship with and not expect them to change.
Don't try and change them.
Don't try to change them.
Mm-hmm. But you can grow.
That growing and evolving is an individual decision. Right. And you can definitely impart some wisdom and you can offer some insight. But expecting someone to change is where it can, again, eat you up.
Right.
Because the person who you married or involved with, a lot of times you ignored all these items very early.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're mad because they continue to do them. That is something, again, that's going to cripple you as an individual and that person. And you are going to always be in conflict and your relationship will not evolve.
And you know, and it's both sides, because you have that side, too, where you have to have a level of acceptance of your mate. The other side, too, is your mate. You have to actually try. You can sit back all day long and apologize for things, but if you're not trying to do anything different, if you're not trying to evolve and grow, mm-hmm. we're not talking about changing, because someone can always change back. But once you evolve, there's no going back. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't want to do that work.
But what if he wants her to at least try to be receptive to his hobbies or the kinds of things that he may like to do
in the bed
that are, well, I was talking about, we still have time to talk about that, G, but we always got to bring it back to the bedroom. I was talking about.
He's trying to keep it wholesome, Gene. You just want to go right
coin
there.
Collecting. Yeah, no, but I forgot what I was going to say. No, if he wants her to be receptive to whatever hobbies, and because they're so important to him and a big part of his life, and she says no, where is the middle point? Should she at least try, and if it doesn't work for her, for example, should he just accept that because he still loves her or what?
You know, it comes back to the same thing over and over again. Understanding. She needs to understand why those hobbies are important to him. he has to be able to communicate to her why this is important to me. I like to work on cars because this is something I did with my father growing up. Mm-hmm. I like to build model planes because I've always wanted to be in the Air Force and I couldn't go because I'm blind. I mean, it could be any type of thing. But you have to be able to explain to your mate what's going on and why this is important to you. It all comes back to understanding and communication. Your mate is always going to say no to you if they don't understand why something's important to you. I wanted to take you out to this particular restaurant because, you know, it reminds me of something. Whatever it is, you have to be able to explain. Use your words, people. Use your words.
Okay, now on to the bedroom, G. We're coming. So he's trying to get off the sofa and get back into the bedroom. Mm-hmm. So take it away. I'll just leave it open from there. What's your advice?
With this one.
Yeah.
No, I was just more so saying too is that again being balanced to say women have to equally, like you said, whatever the hobbies could be that a man may want and they want to communicate, or if there's something that they want to try and you feel like no, this is in conflict with, you know, my character or conflict in my values, my morals. Ultimately, men could then possibly hold resentment over things, whether it's the hobbies because they want to go fishing every weekend and you totally disregarding it. And it's like, oh, that's not important. But like you said, for him, it reminds me of my dad. But it also just like in the intimacy and the physical intimacy, oftentimes in the bedroom is where there can be a lot of resentment. Women are guilty as charged, often are saying, if I'm mad at you, I may withhold. There's a lot of women, of course, who can separate that out and say like, no, we can still have a healthy, intimate relationship. And then the next day, I'm still rolling my eyes at you and I'm not going to cook you dinner. But oftentimes men will say, okay, I tried to do something different or what have you. You resisted. Their resentment is, you know, you don't want to try anything new. And the communication from men oftentimes goes into the same thing because we've been talking a lot about the women giving off the cues. I think women have to be as aware and attentive to if you see the subtle cues from your man or your mate that their needs are not getting met. It goes back to, like you said, like we have to continue to communicate, but it is a struggle, and that power struggle can even impact the bedroom.
So but even that, though, when you talk about intimacy, a lot of times men don't understand that, you know, for a woman, there has to be stronger emotional intimacy to get to the stronger physical intimacy. So if she doesn't feel like her emotional needs are being met, that physical side, she's not going to be into it. But then for women, you have to understand, for a lot of men, in terms of trying to de-escalate a problem or try and soothe himself, he wants to be physical with you.
But I'm just going to say, as a matchmaker, one of the things I found out a lot of times in interviewing women, a lot of women did not communicate if they did not have a comfortability in the physical intimacy with their gentleman mate. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of men who've never really received feedback about an item that has to do with physical intimacy, which goes in again to resentment and harboring, because I'm thinking you should just understand what I want. And I'm thinking, I don't want to tell you because you can't handle it.
Mm-hmm. And never assume that just because there is a sexual intimacy after this grudge and apology that everything is fixed.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess especially when he says, well, how was that? And she says, all right.
You still didn't take out the trash.
Yeah. And then you just stay out there with it. G. Sanders and Tariq Omari Walton, thank you both so much for talking to us. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Friday, May 25th, for News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Iron Walder, and Bobby Adams. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Warner Newton. Good night and have a wonderful and safe Memorial Day.